December 19, 2020. It's a lot for Pedro's show.
Thank you. devil burst from the swallowing sand. From seasick shore, let's war, let I not wash ashore. Once more I jump myself into the ocean floor. Me no when to run my life with lots of sulfur wounds. This harsh mistress called my life is where I've been marooned. I can now be great in a bottle of gin and drink. There's only campfire, cause comfort is rare. If the bottle is there, it's the company I have fathered. I lift that bottle to my lips and pour. When the good for the Lord God came, and all this sickening spraying, I let go of the keel, swiftly kneel. For the last night time I'm paying. Blech.
I don't know how likable, you know, when I was a younger man, Mike, I thought just do the best work you can and you know, be as innovative. And I was like, I'm going to try to be one of the cutting edge guys, which, and there's a price for that because you always want to be cutting edge, you know. And I thought how much your music is liked is completely meaningless. And then he got even more hardcore, and I was like, if your music is liked, it's because you're not good. So it got that extreme. But here's my point to you. Now that I'm 50 years old, I'm starting to appreciate the notion of how likable your music is. Because when you have two guys, you know, two incels in a basement, and they're like, I like your stuff, and everybody else doesn't, then you start thinking, maybe that likability thing is worth something, you know?
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, bud.
We're on the air right now. People, happy Saturday. It's my last day as a 62-year-old.
It is?
Yeah. People, you can hear my guests. I'm not man alone. Brother Matt, he's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point because we're still in quarantino mode. Those genius software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. Nandor Navai. Where are you talking to me from, Nandor?
I am in upstate New York.
Okay.
State. Yeah. Are your brothers there?
Brother Matt, I usually do the Watt from Pedro show with, but we...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, not today?
We don't want to infect each other with this COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to make it. It's just a nasty-ass flu, Mike. And, happy birthday, but I don't think it's... Dude, it's going to take more than that to kill you, man. You're not that easy to kill.
It got my aunt last week.
I'm sorry about that.
You're right. I got a lot of work to do, so I got to hang around. I got to stick around.
Yeah, but you're not done.
I also got the righteous opportunity to talk about you and your musical journey.
That's a much appreciated. It's good to hear that good energy. I'm kind of an isolated guy up here, so that good energy is, I don't get too much of that. Thanks for saying so, buddy. Okay. Thank you.
Can you give us your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I want to say, I don't even want to say this, but actually it's probably Clapton. I Shot the Sheriff. I remember, you're like 3 years old and you have this little in the 70s they put these hard little shoes on you. And my mom was playing I Shot the Sheriff. I remember that, dancing to that. I want to say 73, Mike. And I also remember, the soundtrack to Bonnie and Clyde, the movie.
Sure.
There was the soundtrack and it had the super cool cover, which was a photograph of these gangsters with the Tommy guns sitting on their car in this middle of this field, and it wasn't from the movie, but it had this something small, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, which was like super shredding dual banjos, and it ended with this car crash, so that, dude, I want to say that is in the nether regions of my zygote mind.
That's a good place to start out. I mean, talk about a springboard, a launch pad.
Yeah, bud.
You know what? I should tell the people. We start off the show listening to John Coltrane doing 26-2, and then
nice.
From your The Price of Frontier, Book 2.
Yeah.
Marshall.
Right.
Seasick Shore.
Yes. A nautical song for a nautical guy.
Thank you. I'm a son of a sailor.
You are, dude. You got that anchor necklace. That thing's tough, dude. That thing's fucking tough.
Somebody gave it to me.
I'm serious. Yeah.
You know the Cambridge that's in Massachusetts, not England.
I was
unloading my gear during the last tour of my first opera, and this hand had that in its fist. I never saw the person. I just saw the fist in the necklace, and I thought, well, if I wear that, I'll have good luck.
And it did.
It's been 22 years I've been wearing it now.
Dude, it's anchoring your incarnation down onto the physical plane and doing well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Now what parts did you grow up?
I was from Orange County, New York.
There's an Orange County there, too. I know there's one in Florida. Of course, there's one here.
Dude, there's probably about 8 or 9 in the union. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those, it keeps popping up. It's, and same with, whatever, there's lots of place names. But, to answer your question, Orange County is, just a little bit above, it's just directly above New Jersey is what it is. And, I've lived in, pretty much it was New York, and then I went to RISD in Rhode Island.
I'm like concerned because you're only young once, right? So this is where I'm centering in on. Was there
Good.
Any musical instruments in the pad you grew up?
There was a dulcimer, not a hammer dulcimer. It's this thing with, it looks like a figure eight, like it's like a little hippie folk instrument. I had that thing. That's a long answer. I want to say no.
Okay.
To you. Yeah.
So there was nothing. Well, what about since you got into drums and shit, what about pots and pans?
Oh, that's funny. That's very intuitive. See, I was kind of a late bloomer, and I actually didn't even try doing this shit until high school. And we were really into industrial music, like Einsturzhand and Neubauten, and electronics and Cabaret Voltaire and Kraftwerk and stuff. But mostly the first wave of industrial stuff, which is exactly what you're saying, Pots and Pans. You know, it's like some two guys who are starving to death playing a bridge with some rebar, you know, in their hands kind of a thing. And we thought that was cool. So me and Toby Frere Jones, we have a little metal percussion duo thing. And that would be the very first time where I sat down, and had the ostentation to try to make something. And it was all percussion. That was, 84? I want to say, Mike.
Can I ask you what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Easy. The soundtrack to Grease.
Whoa.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Excuse me. Soundtrack to Grease, man. That. Excuse me. That really, my mom drove me to see it, and it's funny because I didn't identify with John Travolta. I identified with Sandy more when I saw that movie. You know, Olivia Newton-John.
Sure, Australia.
Yeah.
What about the first gig you went and saw? Well, I guess you saw that. Was it the movie or was it the actual musical?
No, I probably did actually see the musical on Broadway 5 years later, but no, that was the movie when it came out. And when was that, man? 76?
Yeah, something like that. Because that's when Happy Days, they were milking the generation.
Totally. Because they actually stopped doing that where the difference between 1962 and 1972, if you look at cultural change and upheaval, that 10-year difference, that never again would they make something that high contrast as far as a decade. And you probably noticed now it's just like saturated, so they actually decades aren't even that different anymore.
No, yeah, plateaued out.
Exactly. Or I think what happened is the hidden hand, the establishment, they decided that the future wasn't for us, and then they were going to keep the future for themselves. And it's mostly underground now, where there's shit that if I told you what was down there, you wouldn't even believe me. And but between 60 and 70, they have change agents, and these people, that's their job, is to make things as different as possible and as compressed an amount of time as possible. So you kind of can't judge. It disorients you. And long story short, that the cover to American Hot Wax.
Graffiti,
thank you. Exactly. Good one, buddy. Graffiti, the cover was like, where were you in 62? You know, but when that movie came out, everybody had, big hair, fat ties, leisure suits. And just 10 years earlier, they had flat tops. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. My pop told me when that show Happy Days came out, he said, you know what? Those were not happy days.
I know. Dude, there's always that revisionist history. It's like Oliver Stone movie, The Doors. They're simulation of the audience of The Doors. It looks like a Grateful Dead concert. It's all tie-dyes and long hair and somebody hitting a beach ball like a fucking Flaming Lips concert. And I'm like, dude, that's not what it looked like. I wasn't even there, and I could tell you. It was people with kind of mid-length bowl haircuts, turtlenecks, like bad glasses and sideburns. But there was no like long hair and shit, you know, like only the people on stage had that. Everybody else was in college and like their hair, by 68, the majority didn't have time to grow their hair until the fucking 70s. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So he's revisionist history. Right.
Ronnie Ashton told me about wearing a corduroy coat and smoking a pipe.
Right, dude, bullseye, bullseye, and so it's like And so the production department on the movie, it's like non-educational. They show you what they think you're going to think it should have looked like. But I'm like, really, I just want to know what did it actually look like. So do it right. Do your fucking job. They had corduroy, the thick kind of corduroy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? With like a big lapel blazer, this kind of thick corduroy. Dude, I don't think you can even get it anymore.
No.
Yeah, and a pipe, yeah, and like a regular Bob Dobbs kind of pipe. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yep.
He's like 16 years old. Look, I want to play.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
The main life.
Player record.
Hey! The first time we met! Yeah.
stupide teorie. E troppe stupide teorie.
c'è ciao dodai burnt. Ubuk like bodies left beneath bracken. Offered you send to the butcher as if you could cut the council estate out of you. Amputate it like a leg. Tipex the birds from your mouth. Later, in your detached home, your wife doesn't understand why more people can't be like you and Mr. Sugar. She's unaware you are living a funeral. Upstairs, you read to your daughter. Wonder if the little mermaid has an accent. How she can bear to gaze at the sea.
wrong. Just remember to forget that you don't know everything. The child talks to the angels. They're looking at shapes at the corners of the rooms where the adults never look in the cobwebs and the gloom. When I was just a baby, I looked at the projector light in the cinema.
Finished. I was 25 years old.
Yeah,
we heard Nandor Navai with the Main Life from The Price of Frontier, Book 4, Hard One.
Yes, yeah. That's the hard rock book, Mike. I separated the books with the first one's kind of my folk music, the second one's my industrial music, the third one's my jazz, if you want to call it that, and the fourth one's my hard rock or heavy metal, and that's how I did it. But just briefly before I let you take over again, I just wanted to tell you that song The Main Life was recorded in this kind of pseudo-abandoned bar in Fort Lauderdale with Ricardo Agudelo. But in that same space, I had just jammed the day earlier with Patrick Joyce. Patrick Joyce being, I want to say, the grandnephew of James Joyce. And wow. They're right there in Florida. Looked just like him, kind of rectangular face. I mean, you could see the similarity. Really cool guy, but it's just weird of all places that I would be jamming with ancestor.
Right. What did he play?
Bass player.
Bass.
Had a
bass
player, was in a band called Load, a band of some renowned South Florida band.
I remember them.
Yeah, Load. Yeah, they registered. They were, I don't want to say known, but they registered. They were known. They did tours. And Bobby, what's his name, who just died, was the singer. But Pat Joyce, you know, he had a big, ridiculous raccoon tail hanging off the neck of his bass. And tall, skinny guy, total smart ass. And to be honest, I didn't really like too many of the people I met in South Florida, but I liked him. So. Okay.
I've seen pictures of Jim Joyce with a guitar, and I've heard a recording of him singing a couple songs. He had a high voice.
No shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you, Nando.
Dude, what happened to his eye?
Yeah, he was always had fucked up vision and had many surgeries, and a lot of them went bad. So, yeah, he had to wear a patch.
Dude, that is unfair. You know what I mean? It's like, if I got to get eye surgery, do me a favor. Let's just call it quits. He's got to go back in for more? Yeah. God damn, Sam.
Well, it was the 30s and 40s. Was it too, yeah.
Dude, you ain't kidding it. And if he got a hand job, he was calling it a good day, that poor guy.
You know, a lot of his stuff's about that.
Isn't it, though? he's the best goddamn writer who ever lived. I mean, I know that's a subjective statement, but he, there's these narratologists, professors who study narratology, okay? And I've been looking into this. It's fascinating. You have two major aspects to it. You have fabula and sujet, which are these Russian words. But fabula is the story as it occurred in time, and then sujet is the sequence in which you tell the story. So, like, sometimes you start at the end when the person's on their deathbed, and then they look back on their life. That would be the sujet, whereas the fabula would be the, you know, from fable, it would be the actual sequence of events and as they happen in real time. But I just wanted to say that these narratologist professors made a poster, Mike. They made a poster of Finnegan's Wake and the characters in that book. It's this convoluted, insane diagram that must have taken, you know, like five people with a 200 IQ. It probably took them 5 years to do this, Mike. You know what I'm saying, dude?
It's
impressive. And the number of characters in the book that are the same person.
Right. What's a family, right?
I guess so, dude. Yeah.
It's everybody. What? Everybody's on board. Yeah, Shem and Sham and all that.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, yeah. Nora, said he was laughing every night he was writing on that thing. But
yeah.
These two kinds of perspectives you're talking about, it reminds me of like either becoming or being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me tell the people, after we heard Cuomo de Mar from Argo out of Barcelona, Iron Fist from End of Hope, Dwarves, Got Them Saints, Bomas Prendon, The Philly Freeze, Ruckus Upstairs from Kim Cooper Complex, and finally, Galactic Refrain from The Price of Frontier Book 1, Folk, named Ornivai.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that stuff, but what was your first gig in can I ask you one question as far as like influences? Did you ever know of a dude named Zev?
Oh, Zev. I was into his stuff. Yeah. That was very similar to what we're talking about, that first wave industrial, like give me some plumbing, remnants from a plumbing job. I'm outside. David Van Tiegum was like that too, like walking around Brooklyn before it was, you know, playing shit. Tiegum would just use drumsticks, but Zev is an interesting cat, and he actually, interestingly, he's known, but he somehow is still underground, which is kind of like me. It's like, I know why I'm underground, because, I'm blacklisted, shadow banned, illegal, and I'm just perverse and obscene, but so that makes sense. But Zev, I don't know why he's still so underground, dude. Do you know what his deal is?
Well, cancer got him.
Oh, no shit? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's no longer with us. But I've seen him like 7-8 times. In the old Hollywood scene in the late 70s, he was doing gigs.
Uh-huh.
I think he lived up in the city, but he'd come down here and play at Hong Kong Cafe and stuff. And he'd almost get killed by the shit swinging around on stage. I mean, you know, you'd have shit suspended, right? Big pieces of metal and
chain. Right.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Now you just took a hard left turn into a very relevant subject, which is danger music. It's danger music, dude.
Yeah.
It is or it is not. It's not an opinion. Is it dangerous? Is it risky for human life? Is it bad for people? It, you know, is it a liability? And like you're saying, when you Zev, the Zev show, it was, you know what I mean? It wasn't, quote, dangerous. It was just fucking dangerous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially, yeah. And to him, too, it wasn't like it was just the audience. I mean, he was up there, right. That shit was fucking flying around. And,
dude.
I'm glad
you brought that up because I decided, I was like, shit, I'm so talented, I might actually become popular. And then I thought, what can I do so I'll never be popular? And I thought, danger music. That's what I'll do. I was like, you're going to be in the gutter forever. And I thought, no, it still might be interesting. What can I do? And I said, oh, I'll combine it with classical music because that's got to be the least likely, you know, combo imaginable. So that's what happened, Mike, anyway. And the rest is not history, as they don't say.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour, December 19, 2020. Nador Divine, my guest. Hold tight for hour two. December 19, 2020. It's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
Do you remember sitting awkwardly as your mom or dad told you about sex? For men in this conversation, no one was a rite of passage. Now imagine switching the roles. Your dad or your mom is single and sexually actively leaning bacteriology, bacteriology, barodynamics, barology, pathology, bibliology, bibliotics, bioecology, biology, biometrics, bionomics, botany, bromatology, brontology, bryology, carcinogenics, cardiology, calorifics, chemistry, campanology, carcinology, cardiology, cardiology, morphology, cartography, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal, catacoustics, catalytics, catechetics, cytology, calorography, calcotriptic, theology, characterology, chemistry, chirocosmetics, gastrography, urology, chorology, chromatistics, chronobiology, crystallogy, cellular, climatology, clinology, codicology, coleopterology, comatology, chronology, sophrology, cosmetology, cosmology, craniology, criminology, cryobiology, cryptology, cryptozoology, cytology, sinology, cytology, dactylology, dactylography, dactylology, deliology, symbology, demonology, dendrochronology, dendrology, deonatology, dermatographic, dermatology, desmology, diabology, diagraphics, diamictology, dioptrics, diplomatics, diplomatology, dosimology, dosiology, dramaturgy, dysgenics, distillology, ecclesiology, echinology, ecology, economics, edaphology, Egyptology, acoustics, electrochemistry, electrology, electrostatics, embryology, hematology, immunology, endemiology, endocrinology, enigmology, entomology, entozoology, enzymology, pediatrics, epidemiology, epileptology, epistemology, aromology, urology, ergonomics, escapology, exitology, ethnogeny, ethnology, ethnomethodology, ethnomusicology, ethology, ethnomics, etiology, etymology, eugenics, exobiology, floristry, zoology, folkloristics, futurology, garbology, gastroenterology, gastronomy, gemology, genealogy, 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 geochemistry, geochronology, geogeny, geogony, geography, geology, geomorphogeny, geoponics, geotechnics, geocompass, gerochromy, gerontology, gynecology, glaciology, glassology, lithography, lithology, mnemonics, gnosiology, glaciology, gnosiology, notobiology, graminology, grammatology, graphemics, graphology, chromatics, gynecology, gyrostatics, hematology,
hagiology, hermeneutics, hermeneutology, harmonics, hedonics, ecology, heliology, heliosymology, helminthology, hematology, heriology, hepatology, heraldry, heraldology, herpetology, hierology, hippiatrics, hippology, histology, histopathology, historiography, histriology, homiletics, ophthalmology, orography, orology, horticulture, hydrobiology, hydrodynamics, hydrogeology, hydrography, hydrokinetics, hydrology, hydrometeorology, hydropathy, hygiology, hygiatrics, hygienics, hygiology, hygrology, hydrometry, hymnography, hymnology, hypnology, ethnography, iamatology, iatrology, iatromathematics, ichnography, ichnology, ichthyology, iconography, iconology, ideogeny, ideology, idiomology, idiopsychology, immunogenetics, immunology, immunopathology, insectology, irinology, iridology, catalogy, karyology, kinology, kinematics, kinesics, kinesiology, kinetics, kinology, kinology, chymatology, laryngophily, lyrics, laryngology, lepidology, leprology, lexicology, lexicography, lichenology, limnology, limnobiology, limnology, linguistics, mythology, liturgiology, loriology, loxology, magirics, magnetry, magnetics, malacology, mariology, mammalology, mammalology, mariology, martyrology, mastology, mathematics, mythology, mechanics, mechanology, melody, mariology, mesology, metallogeny, metallography, metallurgy, metaphysics, metapolitics, metapsychology, meteorics, meteorology, metrics, metrology, microanatomy, microbiology, microclimatology, micrology, micropaleontology, microphytology, microscopy, mineralogy, molinology, mammalogy, morphology, musicology, museology, musicology, mycology, myology, myrmecology, mythology, theology, nasology, nautics, nematology, neonatology, neolosology, nephology, nephrology, neurobiology, neurology, neuropsychology, neuropanology, neutrophy, nidology, nomology, noology, nosology, nosology, nautophily, numerology, numismatics, nymphology, obstetrics, oceanography, oceanology, otology, otology, oology, oecology, olfactology, embryology, oncology, oneurology, onemetology, onomatics, ontology, oology, ophthalmology, ophthalmology, optics, optometry, optometry, archaeology, ornithology, orology.
virology, parapsychology, parasitology, periomenology, parthenology, pataphysics, pathology, petrology, pedagogics, pedology, pedology, penology, periodontics, peristophily, pestology, petrology, pharmacology, pharmacology, pharology, pharyngology, phenology, phenomenology, philately, philomatology, philumony, philology, philosophy, phoniatrics, phonology, photobiology, phraseology, phrenology, physiology, physics, physiology, phytology, piscatology, physiology, planetology, plutology, pneumatics, podiatry, podology, polymology, podology, pathology, photomology, praxeology, primatology, proctology, prosody, proselology, proxemics, cellography, cephalology, pseudology, pseudoisics, psychobiology, psychogenetics, psychognosy, psychology, psychopathology, psychophysics, pterygology, pterylology, pyrotology, pyrology, pyrobiology, pyrography, quinology, radiology, radiology, reflexology, rhabdology, rhabdology, rheology, rheumatology, rhinology, rheumatics, rheumatology, psychology, psychology, skatology, schematonics, psychography, scopology, sedimentology, seismology, selenodicy, selenology, semantics, sementology, semiology, semiology, semiotics, serology, sexology, siderography, sigillography, significance, sylvics, synology, synology, cytology, sociobiology, sociology, somatology, sociology, soteriology, spectrology, spectroscopy, speleology, spermology, spectrology, spectrogenetics, spigology, phonology, phonology, sexiology, statistics, somatology, storiology, stratigraphy, stratigraphy, stylometry, suicidology, symbology, symptomatology, syndicology, synthetics, syntax, sociology, systematology, taxidermy, tectonics, physiology, teleology, telematology, teratology, psychology, textology, pathography, dermatology, pharmacology, physiology, geriatrics, seriogenology, thermodynamics, thermokinetics, thermology, therology, thermatology, thrapsology, tidology, terminology, tocology, tonetics, topology, toponymics, toretics, toxicology, toxophily, traumatology, tribology, trichology, trophology, psychology, ternary, typology, typography, typology, ufology, urinography, urinology, urbanology, urinology, urology, venereology, vermeology, vexillography, victimology, venology, virology, vitrix, volcanology, volcanology, xylography, xylology, xenography, zoiatrics, zooarchaeology, zoochemistry, zoogeography, zoogeology, zoo
duology, synonymy, zoonosology, zoophysiology, zoophysics, zoophysiology, zoophytology, zoosemiotics, zootaxi, zootechnics, zygology, zymology, zymerging!
For Pedro show, we start off the second hour there in Door Divide.
Hi, folks.
Are you ready? From The Price of Frontier, Book 4, Hard One.
Yeah.
And we had Suffragette City from Sam Bennett. A Nebum Onde Estavales Salvos from Aruba Avoa, Berlin cat, well, Portuguese guy in Berlin. And Hard Druggin from The Price of Frontier, Book 4. Hard One, Nandor Navai.
Yeah.
So, now you listeners, off air, Nandor was tripping on the fact that I would play a 20-minute piece.
Yeah, I put that on there just to test you. I thought, man, you should be nice to Mike since he's cutting you a break, but I thought, nah, I'm going to see if he plays his fucking 20-minute damn
the whole enchilada. Look.
What?
Well, you were talking about writers, Jim Joyce. And every time I'm reading a credit for one of your songs, it's from the book. What's the connect between book and music here?
Okay, so I called them audiobooks when I first came out. I realized an audiobook is actually not that. An audiobook, and this relates to Jim Joyce, is somebody reciting prose or text vocally. That's an audiobook. And there are audiobooks of Jim Joyce, which are incredibly virtuosic, Mike, because if you can actually read from Finnegan's Wake and know how to even begin and end a sentence, you know, with the stress of your language, that's like virtuosic to me. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah.
But my stuff, I call them music books. To be honest, all right, well, let me start over. There's text. And then there's four CDs. There's four books. Each book has four CDs, 16 CDs total, four books total, and there's 44 pages of text. Now, the text is an autobiography, and it deals with my life from about the year 1999 to the year 2006. And all the text, there's some, you know, things that go a little bit out of that, but basically that's just what happened to me between 99 and 06. Now, the CDs, the music in there, is just an archive dump, to be frank. It's not like a regular produced LP release. When you produce an LP, you filter the material. You use the best stuff. You don't just use everything. But this stuff, these books are an archive. This is just all this shit on my shelves. I'm like, I'm not even going to care about this by the time I'm 51. I just have to get this out now, get it definitively done. And the last thing I'm going to say, and then you go, is just that some of it I don't even like. Okay, but it's my life. It's what happened, and it's relative to the information in the books, to the text, you know. So I have this 20-minute long drum and bass jam I did with Don Bowles.
Yeah, old friend.
Yeah, I fucking hate him. But in 2002,
sorry.
Okay, and there's a lot of things I like about Don, well. Read the book, and you'll find, you know, I picked him up and threw him out a door, so I guess our relationship wasn't quite the same after that. But my point is just that this track is the only track I have with me and Don. The good material we did was all stolen or lost, so I put that track on here, but that's the difference between an archive and a regular release. And your question about why is there these books and why is there CDs with it? There was just so much unreleased stuff, and I knew I had to do the autobiography about these dead people and just this insane life that I shouldn't have even survived, man. And long story short, you know, it's like I went to California and, you know, it's like when you give a Native American the fire water, you know, California, I was the Native American and California was the fire water. And I'll tell you what, Mike Watt, yeah. By the end of that story, I looked like a piece of chewed fucking hamburger.
But like Ishmael, you live to tell the tale.
I don't know how. I don't know why they let me go, dude. There was, I ran into some enforcers and some of them were evil, but the good ones I'll never forget.
Oh wow! And, I want to play the Vampire Smile.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's Florida. That's about Florida.
Bottoms up. surrounded by criminals in this here music business. Once you discard, it's a certain value. Your play goes down. Your play goes down. Vampire smile, everybody frown. Greed and it is career with gibberish.
Thank you.
My For Pedro show. We heard Vampire Smile.
Yeah.
The Price of Frontier, Book 4, Hard 1. We got a lot of entries from Hard 1.
That's because you're Mike Watt, and I've got a limited time to appeal maybe to an audience, just so I could just totally mooch off you. So I'm just shamelessly trying to mooch off like whoever likes Mike Watt. My favorite stuff that you've done is probably Dose.
Oh yeah, my oldest man, 35 years. Pedro's slang for that is not mooch. We say side mouse.
Side mouse. Thank you. I need to get my Cali slang working again.
Okay, we had Red Show at the Opera from the Plutonium Farmers. Mike Cooper with Miniature 12 and Automatic Sonata Number 3 by 3 Hands. Mandor.
Yep.
Nevada. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's different. That ain't Hard One.
No, that's its own CD. That's not in the books. That was recorded in April 2001.
Oh, but it's in that window. Why is that window 1999 to 2007 important?
Because that's when I moved out to California in 99, and in 2006 I moved back east.
Okay, and, so it's your California experience.
Exactly, the Southern California experience with some Frisco there on the ass end of the whole bitch. But when I first got there, when I first got into the state, Mike, I was a young professional. I was 29 years old. I had a resume. I was a gentleman. I dressed well. I combed. I wasn't a degenerate dirtbag in a feral situation. I had prospects. I had several irons in the fire. I was a professional video editor working at ABC TV there on Prospect in Los Feliz. I was apprenticing at the Devo studio, and that's where that piano record was made because the wonderful artist Mark Mothersbaugh.
Mutado, he turned 70 yesterday.
No shit?
I wouldn't shit you, Nandor.
Dude, yeah, I love him. He's just the best. He's a very strange person, but he has the sensibility of a fine artist. And he's kind of an underrated composer, to be honest. He does neoclassical music and stuff. But long story short, I was sort of apprenticing there, and he let me wheel this 500-pound player piano forte. It took four of us to move up into a studio and record this album. And I was this 31-year-old nobody who just got there from New York. And within about 2 or 3 years, I was like a feral animal. you know what I'm saying? And I thought I wanted to get into the porn biz and make – not the porn biz, but I wanted to make erotic art that wasn't disgusting – and that wasn't anti-female, and it wasn't mafia-ish, and it wasn't perverse. And I found out that, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, you could do it. You could do it and have your little nothing thing going on. But I learned a lot. Put it to that way, Mike. And it's all in the books. And
right over those hills. On the other side of the Hollywood Hills is the Val, and that's where they do a lot of that business.
In it, though? But, it was very interesting. If you read the book, they saw me coming, all right? I didn't even realize I was involved in it. And then I'm like, wait, these people I know are, they have secret lives because it's the aristocracy, and then they disguise themselves. And, it's actually kind of a dangerous subject even to this day. And the names in the books tell 100% the truth. And I actually include the names of the people, but I use only the first two letters of the first name and the first two letters of the last name. And, I would rather play Russian roulette, than put the full names in there because I'll tell you what, dude, it is not a safe scene.
That makes good sense, Nandor. We're at the end of the second hour, December 19, 2020, this Wapito Show. Hold, special guest Nandor Navai. Hold tight for hour three. December 19, 2020. It's the third hour of the Wapito Show.
I am a star floating in space. Yes, my expressive invisible face.
saints give a damn. You know that I'm brutal. Listener, you.
Comme l'espérance est violente. Viens la nuit, semble les jours sans moi, je t'aime.
Go ahead and take it.
Go ahead and take it.
Out. No, put me in your mouth. No, put me in your mouth. Kiss my microphone. Kiss my microphone. Kiss my microphone. Person that plays. Your delivery is hot, and I've acquired 8 tabs. Your delivery is hot, and I've acquired 8 tabs. Da 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 da, door to door, fa 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 fa, face to face. Ka 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 ka, kiss my microphone. Kiss my microphone. Kiss my microphone. You stayed. You make such noise and you're easy to play. I touch the freckles off. Connect to make you sing. Everybody, heaven protected. Sex, we got the eggs. You've been itching for a break and let it start in to swell. Do you? I wanna eat out.
For Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Nandor Divide doing string octet in the movements 1 through 3.
That's it.
Now, is this part of the thing? You did this at Mutato?
That's the most recent. That's on an LP. I did that in 2012. Not the most recent, but that one, Mr. Bass Player, is, you know, my favorite thing is bass, dude. That's other thing I like about Dose is
two bass.
That two bass thing. It's not redundant. It's as far as arranging goes, it's got crazy potential, and it just sounds good because bass has bass, of course, but bass also has high end in it. Whereas the high-end instruments don't have bass in them. They only have high-end. But bass has both. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the closest sound to us on the stage is the kick drum.
Precisely. And along that same line of thought, string octet in A, I've been planning to do for 20 years, man. My ideas are too grandiose to be realized. But I finally did it. It's all upright basses. Okay. There's seven upright basses and then I had to simulate an eighth one on the keyboard with a viol sound. But here's the thing of it.
Yeah.
I got Tim Dahl, who's probably, in my opinion, one of the best bass players in New York. I think he is it, but neoclassic. Oh, yeah. So I had to buy him an $88 low A string, Mike, for him to rig his upright so he could get that 27 hertz low A, the first key on the keyboard, okay?
Okay.
And so this is what I'm trying to tell you is this octet is the lowest string octet ever written, and probably one of the lowest pieces of music that's ever been acoustically recorded. And it's got a saturation level where it's got eight parts to it. You couldn't probably put one more bass line in there, okay? You know what I'm saying? Without being inaudible, I guess.
It makes your bladder let go. Yeah.
Yeah, but
then we heard the Big Spin from another umbrella, Big Spin number one, Day of the Dead from Dynamite for Partisans, Into the Blue from Simon Waldron, Transferred from Trigger Cut, and My Microphone, it's a trippy way of spelling it.
Yeah.
From The Price of Frontier, Book One, Folk, with you people. So what is the most recent thing you've been doing musically now?
This technical death metal band called Glyptoglossio, which is technical death metal is the sort of – it's progressive hard rock. So but we're taking the progressive thing and it's like making it into the World Wrestling Federation of progressive where it's science fiction shit that we're just making it as advanced as possible, as futuristic as possible. There's that. And then the other thing is I'm just doing this over my own project, which is Overshadower Command, Mike. And long story short, that is basically – it's, power organ, super hard rock with the power organ a la, Iron Butterfly, right?
Yeah. Big Hammer that, B3, yeah.
Exactly, but it's got, just like the way a guitar, you can get that perfect distortion on bar chords or on power chords, that ripping atomic distortion that I get from just the direct, and it's a church pipe organ sound. But and there's literally just probably 3 hours worth of material of that kind of shit that, because I live up here in the woods, Mike. And long story short, it's you can't always get somebody to come up here. Hey, want to come to my house and record again? I mean, for the fourth time? No, I don't, So. So you end up doing it yourself, or like Dose, you find a cute little honey and you're like, hey, you know what I mean? And Mike, I don't need to tell you, that's living. You know what I'm saying? When you find a little sweetie you want to play with and maybe get a little something before or after, that, my friend, is living.
Yeah, well, that segues the gooey's right into this song, Honolulu.
Very good. That's exactly what that is.
Thank you.
Peter. So last music for this edition. We had Honolulu, number one, from The Price of Frontier, book three, Jasm.
Yep.
Nandor Divine. Then Broken Again from Quiet Pig out of Italy, Prado. And then finally, Symphonic HNW Monuments Movement 1, Dakota.
Yeah.
From The Price of Frontier, Book 2, yes. Marshall.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dimension to that. And like you said, it's not edited, it's an archive.
Right. So a lot of the stuff, there was stuff that happened in my life, and some of it's not releasable, but it's relevant to the text. There's characters in the text playing, and it, or is recorded in a place that's referenced in the text or depicted there. But long story short, Mike Watt,
yeah,
there's 79 minutes on a CD.
Yeah.
So I try to be very stringent. And as I said on the Lydia Lunch interview, I said, you know, I try to respect the audience. I don't always get that impression from every musical artist that they respect the audience. And what I mean by that is try and cook up the best stuff I can. It's not just because I want to be so cool and I want to be so great. I just think they should get the best thing I can deliver in the shortest amount of time, and I believe in putting effort into that. So, but my point is, what the fuck were we talking about?
No, what you're telling me is that you consider it. I think a lot of people on stage think they're better than the people.
That's what I'm saying.
The gig goers.
Exactly, we were talking about Symphonic H&W Monuments. I forgot what the hell my point was.
It was the whole work that you wanted to deliver it without.
Oh, archive. You said archive.
Archive.
That's what it was, my friend. So what I'm trying to say is there's stuff on there some of it I don't like. Some of it's unreleasable, Mike, but you have 79 minutes on a CD. So instead of having all my good stuff and having the CD end at 50 minutes in duration, so the piece you just played, H&W Monuments, that segment is probably 10 minutes long. The whole composition is an hour and 20 minutes. There's still 40 minutes on there. And so that's the difference between an archive and a regular release. It's like, this is what happened. And sometimes with artists I really respect, I want that throwaway stuff where you just hear the weird, you know, the air sound that was in the room there, and somebody's like in the other room, and they're like, you hear them open the fridge, and they're like, there's no more beer, and you just, it's kind of like time travel a little bit, you know, man, and you, so, but what I'm trying to say is an archive is...
Well, it's kind of like a diary entry.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. The filtration, there's less of a filtration, and that what I mean by that is, on the theme of respecting your audience, it's slightly disrespectful to your audience, because it's like when you go over somebody's house and their laundry, you know what I'm saying, their dirty laundry's in the front of the front door, and you kind of have to step over it. You're sort of like, maybe you should have put your laundry away. So, you know, in this case, it being an archive, I'm saying, here's all my laundry. And I'm apologizing for that, but maybe there's, there's 79 minutes of space on a CD, dude. So, you know what I mean?
Fill it up.
Press stop anytime you like. Yeah. So.
And I'm sorry, but we got to now. I've run out of time. It's been a big honor to have you aboard, though, really, Nandor.
Amazing. I had a blast with you, man. Maybe we should hang out in California sometime. I'll be out there this winter. You know, and maybe we could trade for your book. I don't know if that's interesting. You let me know.
Okay. It's at the end of the Harbor Freeway, San Pedro.
Yeah, brother. You got a book out, right?
Of pictures and some, diary and right. Poem. I'll trade you.
I'm interested in that. So.
I did 125 months touring with the Stooges, so I got some diary.
Jesus. God damn. Tough son of a gun. Dude, that is...
That's rough, dude. Survive that, man.
But like Ishmael, like Ishmael said, you know, live to tell the tale. People, it's been December 19, 2020, edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah. Amen.